Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
A tremendous Saturday to you. It's Sam Crowley. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's the Every Day is Saturday podcast, November 12, 2014. I hope you're having an amazing day. We're going to kick it off. We're going to kick it off in just a second. Before we do that, make sure you subscribe to the Every Day Saturday podcast on iTunes. Also, leave a 5-star rating now so we can fly up the charts like we continually do. And other people like you can find the show. All right, head over to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating. Also, you can decide on a topic we're going to talk about. We do several shows a day. Hit me up on Twitter, at Sam Crowley. That's at Sam Crowley. Or just shoot me an email, sam at everydaysaturday.com. Let me know what you want to hear on the show. So, if you're going to change where you are, how many people want to change? Raise your hand. How many people want to change where you are right now? I do. I'm always looking for change. I love change. I love it. Point in time, I hated it. You know why I hated it? Because everybody else told me that comfortable was the best way to go. Sam, that look, when we go into the meeting today, all the lemmings, right, all the employees are like, when we're going to the meeting today, don't look for anything different. Let's just keep it the way it is. We always want more money. Employees are funny, man. They're always arguing for more money, but they never want to do more work to get more money. Well, what's the goal? The goal has always been in a job to do the least amount of work, have the least amount of responsibility, and have the least amount of accountability, but also be able to get the most money. As an entrepreneur, you want to add the most value, man. We don't talk about minimum wage. We talk about maximum value. We don't talk about minimum wage. We talk about delivering maximum value, because when you deliver maximum value, you make a lot of money. It's really that simple. Now, here's the awesome part, is that you can deliver maximum value, but you have to embrace this part. Are you ready? This is the million-dollar part. It's going to make you a lot of money. It's going to make you a lot of great connections, and it's going to change your life if you can just grasp this concept. Here we go. The same kind of thinking that brought you to where you are right now is not going to get you to where you want to go. Let me say that again and really let this sink in. The same kind of thinking that brought you to where you are right now will not get you to where you want to go. It is impossible. It will never. When? Never happen. Think about that. I mean, it makes so much sense, but so many people, they can't grasp the concept. You want to keep doing exactly what it is that you've been doing. Maybe you've been waking up at the same time or going to sleep at the same time. So many people I see on social media, some people suffer from insomnia. So why? Is it just me? Or do you see this as well when people post it? Thanks a lot, insomnia. It's 3 a.m. I can't get back to sleep. Sleepless night last night. Really? I sleep like a dead animal. Seriously, I go to bed at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, the latest. And I close my eye. I'm out like a light. I mean, anything less than a nuclear bomb is not waking me up. Or border collies barking to be let out. Those are the only two things that will wake me up. But I sleep really, really well. No anxiety. Remember, you take the glass case and you smash it with a sledgehammer. If you've never heard me talk about that, give me 10 seconds. I'll explain. You go to bed with all your problems, all your anxiety, all your worry, all your fears. You put them in an imaginary glass box. All of them fit in there nice and neat and perfectly. And then you take the biggest sledgehammer that you can and you smash the living crap out of that glass box and it shatters and away goes all your anxiety, all your fears, all of your worries. Because that same thinking, remember, we're getting back, thinking is one of the most difficult things to do in the world. That's why so few people engage in it. Most people can't think. They look to other. Hey, what should I think? Seriously. Grown men and women, middle age. Hey, what should I think? How should I feel? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, what are you going to other people? To I mean, drive me nuts. You're a middle-aged person. You lived half your life. And you're looking to somebody else to be told what to think? Are you out of your mind? You have 18 billion brain cells. We're not asking you to use all of them. God, if you used all of them, you'd spontaneously combust from lack of usage. I'm talking, it's like, holy cow. If you think of your brain like an electrical panel, you know, the breaker box in your basement, in your garage, and it's been off for 10 years, and you just flipped this massive switch, the whole damn house would go up in flames. I'm saying, just flip one damn breaker. You know, the one that controls maybe the dishwasher. Have that one control just a little bit of part of thinking in your brain. Flip the switch, for crying out loud. Quit going to bed with all this anxiety and fear and worry, man. What's it keeping you up at night? And by the way, remember, don't tell the marketplace about your problems. Tell your doctor, right? If you need a pill to get to sleep, take a pill. But you don't need one, man. You need to eliminate that, because the same thinking that's gotten to where you are today, it ain't going to get you to where you want to go. We all want to be financially free. We all want to be in great relationships. We all want to have better relationships, be it business, personal. I got my pastor, Shane Harden, coming over in a little bit. We're going to record the spiritual podcast. I'm not even going to wait for Sunday to get that out. We're not preaching religion on anybody. We're both Christians. He's my pastor, but it's more of a healing. I think we're going to talk about healing today, and I'm anxious for the show. I'll try to get it out to everybody today, if not tomorrow at the very latest. But just pay attention. I mean, it's really, to me, and this is just life according to Sam Crowley, life is about inner peace. It's about being at peace where you are right now. It's not being satisfied. You're never satisfied, but you are where you are right now because of the best decisions that you've made. And you know what's fun? I have these conversations with tenants as well, because they rent, and they rent for a reason. They rent because, obviously, they don't own. Shocker! They don't own. They rent. Now, renting in the past 10 years has become actually more vogue than it's been ever. You know, it used to be the American dream. You would buy a house and build equity in that home and live there for 40 years and you die and that's it. You know, you own your home, you pay it off after a 30-year mortgage and all that great stuff. Well, that's not really the case anymore. A lot of people, we're becoming more and more of a transient environment, especially millennials. Millennials are understanding that you don't need to be anchored down to a home. You know, you can rent, move in a year. You don't have to have all of those, you know, high interest payments in the beginning of your mortgage, all the repairs in your home. Landlord can do all that. You just got to live there. Downside is you don't build equity, but really it takes about 7 years to have any kind of equity in your home anyway. So, you know, a lot of people, they're renting, but I tell my tenants, look, like, well, you're the landlord, you're rich. No, that's not the case at all. You got more money than I do relative to a savings account when it comes to rentals, okay? It's very expensive. Now, I'm not saying I don't benefit from them, but I took a lot of risk, a hell of a lot of risk to get those rentals. And I've had them for 12 years now, going on 13 years I've had those rentals. So, yeah, things are a little better now than they were 10 years ago. But there's a risk-reward scenario, and we both are where we are as a result of my best thinking. Where were you? I asked my tenants this, and none of them want to get into this discussion with me ever. And I think it's because they know where the conversation's going, okay? Because I ask them, where were you 15 years ago? And where are you now? Are you happy? Are you jumping up and down? Are you ready to go and give a speech all across the world about where you are right now? And they look at me like, you're an idiot. Go away. I'm like, okay, I get that, and I receive that message. Okay, thank you very much. I'm not satisfied where I'm at, but I'm in a much different place than I was 15 years ago. 15 years ago was 1999. We were all talking about Y2K. Remember that? The world was coming to an end. People were getting all the canned goods in their home, and they were going to the store, getting all the bottled water. They were going down to their bunker or their basement because nothing was going to work when 2000 hit, New Year's Eve 2000. And the world was going to end. I was looking around thinking, what a bunch of idiots. I can't believe I'm surrounded. I mean, literally, I'm listening to idiots on my television and people that were kind of in my inner circle of influence. I'm like, I don't even believe. How do you not wet yourself all day, every day? I mean, seriously, you should be in diapers. I can't even believe that you're an adult now. You've turned 21 years old. You're old enough to vote, go to war, drink alcohol, do all of these things, and you actually think the world is coming to an end. Oh, my God. How can I mean, I need to move on, because that was my best thinking in 1999 got me into an inner circle of people who thought the world was coming to an end. I'm not kidding. You know, people that you knew, still know, thought the world was coming to an end. Guess what? New Year's Eve came. I had an amazing time. We went down to Union Terminal here in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was way, way too expensive to go to this New Year's Eve, but I got roped into some deal. It was like $300 a head. I know, it's stupid. I mean, I didn't have $300. It was 1999. I was 31 years old. And my wife and I went with a few other couples, but I did have an amazing time, but it was $299, way more than it should have been per ticket. But it was funny because midnight hit, and even these people got their fancy watches on. Everybody had a tuxedo on. It was stupid. It was just way too much time with the beautiful people. But I remember sitting at the bar. Yes, shocker, I was at a bar on New Year's Eve. 31 years old. I remember sitting at the bar, and they were passing out the champagne, and we're getting ready to, they had a little mini ball that was dropping, really a nice affair, but, and these executives were talking, worried about like what was going to, were the lights going to go out at midnight? And I could not believe, even after having a couple of beers, I mean, my mind was a little more numb. I was still thinking very coherently, and I remember thinking to myself, I can't believe these people are educated. It just goes to show there's a big difference between book smarts and street smarts. And I didn't have a lot of hope for our society at that point in time, because I woke up the next morning after partying way too much into the early hours and going to White Castle at 3 in the morning. Do you remember White Castle? Yeah, still around. Little mini hamburgers, yeah. Great diet at 3 a.m. on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And I remember looking back, waking up, I was watching college football, hanging around. My wife and I were just kicking around that day. Didn't have kids or anything, just hanging out watching football. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, there's even educated people worth millions of dollars that thought the world was going to end. And here we are. Nothing happened. So as we move forward each year, we're coming now to the end of 2014. And I look back like I always do, and we'll do a year in review in December. For you, for me, for everybody, look at what we thought was going to happen this year, what actually happened, where we're going. It's not really important to look at the rearview mirror. You're going to crash, and more important to look out the windshield, where you're going in 2015. But holy cow, look at everything you thought was going to happen this past year, and it didn't. And look at everything thought negative. Oh, my God, the sky's falling, and it didn't. Think of all the sleepless nights you subjected yourself to in 2014. Was it worth it? Mark Twain said, I've known a great many fears of my life, most of which never happened. And yet we sit around and we're going to have all this fear and anxiety. My challenge to you today, tomorrow, this week, this month, and the rest of this year is to change your thinking. Change it. Think bigger. Remember, I talked about it last week on the show. It doesn't cost any more to dream big. Why the hell are you dreaming so small? Oh, I want an extra $100 a week. What about $1,000? You know that just involves a comma, right? There's just, all it is just another zero. And it's easier actually to make an extra $1,000 a week than it is $100, because to make $100, you have to take this huge dream and you got to compartmentalize it, and you got to just squeeze it into this little like thimble. Big dream, it's awesome. Get a big box, big moving box. I mean, you shouldn't have a box that is too small. I mean, your box should be huge. Your dream's going to fit into. But for some reason, and I'm not quite sure when this happened with you and everybody else, is that you allowed yourself to dream so small, you've accepted that because your self-esteem's telling you you don't deserve this. For whatever reason, I'm not sure when it happened. Maybe there was a trigger point. Maybe it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. For me, it was just a childhood. We can't afford this. We can't afford that. We can't afford that. You order off the left side of the menu, the right side of the menu where the price is. You can't look at the left side. Just immediately, zoom. Right to the right. Still, I catch myself doing that. My wife and I went out to dinner at the Shays here in Cincinnati Friday night. Woo, big date night. We ate with all, it was like the blue-haired special. We were there at 5:30 because our kids were home alone. My oldest was babysitting. And so we don't leave them for too long, and we still go out relatively early. So we're there with all the, you know, all the older people, and then there's us. We like to think we're still young, but we're out with all the older people. You can appreciate that. And I still find myself going to the right side of the menu to look at the price. As much as I train my mind not to, I've read The Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker. It's a great book. If you've never read it, read it. He talks about ordering off just the left side of the menu. You don't look at the right. You get what you want, man, and you just figure out a way to pay for it. You know, for me, and I end up doing that, but I find, I mean, I've been so programmed growing up without anything, looking at the right side of the menu. Remember, my mom used to go to the Downbeat restaurant, her and I, Friday nights, just her and I, we would get a fish fry. And I remember it was the only thing we could order because it was all inclusive, the salad, the fish, French fries. And it was great. I mean, it was great. Are you kidding me? 7, 8, 9-year-old kid, I'd take it every night. But I remember I wasn't even allowed to look at anything. Don't you look at that. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. You know, fish fry, $4.99. All right, I got it. And we are programmed at an early age, man, and it's just so wild. I'm 46 freaking years old. I should be ordering filet mignon every single time. I don't give a crap. And it's not that I don't appreciate money. It's not that I still don't donate to great causes. It's not that I throw my money around like it's going on. It's not it at all. Flying first class to Orlando, like I mentioned yesterday, when I talked about airline baggage fees, that was a eye-opener, wasn't it? That podcast about airline baggage fees. If you hadn't heard that, November 11th, 2014, the airline baggage fees. Oh, my God, $6 billion. Check it out. It's a great podcast. But I'm flying first class to Orlando. It was like $574 to fly first class, and it was $250. Seriously. I will gladly pay $300 more for the experience. And not because I'm, you know, part of this elite. And that's such bull crap. You know, oh, you're first class. No, it's the experience. I can arrive whenever I want to arrive at the gate, as long as it's 10 minutes before. Okay. I don't have to worry about carry-on, where it's going to fit. I can sit down. Don't got to worry about a middle seat. Or I can get there an hour early and be the very first one on the plane and have a beer or a glass of wine or a water or an orange juice and just chill and read the paper, you know? It's being relaxed. You know, you can fly first class, right? You know, you can afford to fly first class. I would argue you can't afford not to fly first class because once you have that experience, it will drive you and motivate you. There's so much time and stuff wasted flying coach. And this podcast actually is going now almost 20 minutes long. I meant for it to go 10, but I got the message inside of me. Can you feel it today? I'm fired up. I'm freaking fired up. So many people are settling for coach, man. Fly friggin' first class one time. Experience that and understand. Don't be jealous of other people or where they're. Oh, look at the snob. He's got his newspaper out looking down. No, he's not. Just reading the paper. Quit giving it so much meaning. Why don't you be this person sitting in first class? Seat 1A. I want everybody listening to the Everyday Saturday podcast to sit in seat 1A next time you fly. First class, baby. You deserve it. Get the feeling. Borrow the money if you have to. Understand, it's only a decision. It's only a decision. That's all it is. Instead of clicking the button for coach, click the button for first class and then see what it's like. And instead of being jealous of where other people are in life, understand you can not only be where they are, but you can leapfrog them because you got it going on. The same kind of thinking that brought you to where you are right now is not going to get you to where you want to go. Do you receive the message today? I did. I love it, man. I love you. I love your dream. I love everything about it. Now go use it. Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.